Okay, as thanks for coming out this morning. My name's Lewis Starr, and I'm Codes and Standards Engineer. And we work on the four-state area, which is primarily in the Northwest. So one of the things we're going to talk a little bit about is actually, these may be the old slides, but NEA is essentially supported by electric utilities, and we're voluntarily funded. But the primary reason why energy efficiency. Energy efficiency is the least cost-effective way to meet future energy demands. Matter of fact, in the Northwest, that we predict in the next 25 years that 85% of our increased energy demands are going to be met through energy efficiency. And the other part is, why codes? Well, codes are relatively the best cost-effective way of energy efficiency methods. So of all the things you can do in energy efficiency, codes are one of the best ways you can do that. And while there are increased costs with them, they're usually paid back. You know, the increased costs are usually passed on the owner, but those costs are paid back through reduced energy bills throughout the life cycle of the building. So here are the learning objectives for this session. I'm basically going to touch on the first four of these things, and then the rest of the speakers are going to touch on those as well, and probably the rest. So currently in the Northwest, we have... Washington has its own state energy code. It's 2009, but it's a little more stringent than the 2009 IECC. Oregon also has its own, is a version of the 2009 IECC, but it's heavily amended. And then Idaho and Montana just have the 2009 IECC. So this is a typical code cycle, and in the Northwest, this is on a three-year code cycle, which is similar to other areas of the country. But essentially, on the slide, what you'll notice is that Idaho, Oregon, and Montana are in the implementation phase, and only one state's currently developing code, and that's Washington. So for the most part, I'm going to talk about, you know, in the sense this is where the ASHRAE members can plug in, so I'm going to focus a lot on Washington, and then also I'm going to talk a little bit about Oregon and its REACH code. So Washington has had its own state energy code for the last 25 years, and there's a couple of reasons for this, but primarily a long time ago, the codes nationally weren't quite up to the energy efficiency standards that Washington was looking for. And then also there's a kind of current building practices and particular items to Washington. And so their own state energy code was a good option for them. A common thing I hope you're going to see in this presentation is that legislation helps drive energy efficiency on the codes level at the state level. And in Washington, one of those is Senate Bill 5854, which was passed in 2007. And it required by 2031 that they have a 70% decrease in energy usage over 2006. So this helps out a lot when you get into the code cycle process in terms of providing reasons why you have to do energy efficiency. When you have a mandate in terms of a legislative mandate, it helps a lot in negotiations with what's going to happen in that energy code. So... that being said, Washington has decided to move to the 2012 IECC. Although they're moving there, they definitely want to keep a lot of Washington amendments and allow themselves to maybe have more energy efficiency measures if necessary. So, you know, the slide is a little bit, I'm just going to talk a little bit more about what the process in Washington is and kind of simplify it a little bit. Typically, in a code cycle, what you have is that you have the previous code, and when it comes into a code cycle, you amend that code to make it more efficient or make the changes you want to do. In Washington, since they're adopting two different codes, you know, or putting together two different codes, it basically requires that they create a base document, and they refer to this base document that's a combination of the Washington State Energy Code and the IEC as the Washington mashup. So right now is currently in from about the 1st of December until March, or in March of this year, they're developing what that mashup looks like. And it's basically just developing a base code that can be amended. And then in the next 3 months, from March until June, they're going to work on amending it, which is the typical code process. So basically what's unusual about the Washington code process is that currently they have two things that they're trying to do. So it's making it a little more difficult than usual. But it's going along pretty well, and one of the things I wanted to mention that this is an opportunity for, it's definitely an opportunity for ASHRAE members to get involved. In fact, the Puget Sound has an advocacy group that interfaces with the Energy Tag, and the Energy Tag is the actual group that puts together the energy code in terms of the the language that actually shows up, and then the State Building Code of Council approves it. What you can do, though, in terms of participating in the code process is that through the advocacy group that the Puget Sound has, I believe her name is Leslie Johnson, they're basically interfacing with the energy tag to figure out areas of expertise where you can potentially get involved and provide your expertise, and then also show up and do providing some testimony or whatever. So I'm going to talk about in the Washington mashup a little bit of what some of the items we're seeing right now. There's some advantages to having the 2012 IECC. You can use 90.1 as a compliance path. Some of the issues we're seeing with it is that in the IECC, it regulates windows based upon the whether they're fixed or operable, whereas the Oregon or the Washington State one basically does it based on frame material. And so that's something that's a big deal for a lot of the industry in Washington. And then the other thing is that there used to be a end-use metering chapter in the Washington Energy Code, and that's now gone. So just want to talk briefly about Seattle's Energy Code. And that is that it's a little more aggressive in terms of energy efficiency, and they've adopted some things that are a little bit higher than what the Washington State Code is, and that's lower interior and exterior powering allowances, and then they use continuous air barriers and testing, and they also reference ASHRAE standards in terms of Appendix G, and they also still kept the Washington energy metering requirement. So... In Oregon, there's the same kind of thing where we have a piece of legislation. In this case, it's Senate Bill 79. It's requiring mandatory energy efficiency reductions, or in this case, increase in energy efficiency. In 2009, the legislature passed a bill, Senate Bill 79, which required that by 2012, they increase the energy efficiency by 15% to 25% over 2007. And so in 2010, that they passed the Oregon Structural Specialty Code, which basically achieved that goal. So I mentioned in here that they're focusing on training, and training is a big deal in code adoption, because after you pass the code, making sure that people actually do the code and can enforce the code is important. So we do focus on that a lot as an organization. One of the things that Senate Bill 79 also did was it created the Oregon Reach Code. And the Oregon Reach Code is essentially a set of voluntary standards that are above the mandatory standards in terms of energy efficiency. And so what this does is allow building owners and contractors to go out and build projects that are more efficient than the typical projects. And usually those projects can be incentivized by potentially utility programs and other things as well. And the main thing about the REACH code is it allows us on a small scale to try out maybe new equipment efficiencies, maybe building practices, and see how they work before we apply it to the whole code. And so when it comes around to the mandatory code, if we've had successful items in the Oregon REACH code, we can then roll those into the mandatory code. And it gives us a good way to maybe adopt and modify those things that we've had in the REACH code and see if it works well on a larger scale. And so with that, that's the end of it. But I wanted to say that, we've been a leader in the codes in the Northwest, and we want to continue on that way. And one of the ways that we can definitely continue in that way is by participation of ASHRAE and ASHRAE's membership. As you know, the energy savings, as we go along the codes, there's less and less energy to save. And so what's happening is the codes are becoming more complicated. And so we need more technical people involved in the process. And so ASHRAE as a organization and membership, I think, will be very fundamental in increasing energy codes and meeting some of the goals such as 2030 in the future. So with that, thank you. And I think we're going to hold the questions to the end, because a lot of the questions are going to be across many things in terms of legislation and other things. So with that, we'll start the next standard.
Great. Thanks, Louis. Appreciate it.